You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
Yes, the reading tonight's Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, and in the church Bibles it's page 984. Otherwise, it's up on the screen already. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Jew and Greek, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Is anyone going to mind if I do this? It's because it's now daylight savings are over. I find it really hard to read without bright lights. And I actually find it much easier to... I actually find it easier to see you with the lights... Anyway, just trust me. It's not because, again, we did light the last year. It's not because I think I'm higher or anything. No, it's just... You get it. Please do grab the Bibles, page 94. Please keep it open there as we go through. If there is an outline that with kind of indicating where we'll be heading for the next few minutes, if that's helpful for you, please do make use of it. But as we begin, let's pray together. Let's actually ask God to be speaking to us as his community tonight. Gracious Lord, thanks for gathering us together tonight. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your word. Thank you that you still speak to us today by your Spirit through your word. So we pray that you would do that to us and for us and with us tonight, that we may know what it means to be your people and how we're to live that out in our community together here at Christchurch. Amen. Great. Well, a few years ago, when I was still living in Adelaide, I went into my local Christian bookshop, Kurong, it was the only one we had, and I went in there and there was a sale on and I saw there were two books on sale, and I just knew that I had to have those two books. I just had to have them because they would make me a much better youth minister and a much better Bible college student at the same time, and so therefore I had to have them. So I bought them both and I carried them home feeling much smarter, much more equipped, much more able already, and I carried them home and I went into our study. And I went to the place on our bookshelves where those particular kind of books would belong, and I noticed that I actually already owned them both already. I'd actually owned them for years, but I just somehow forgot, you know. See, in that moment, I didn't actually need those books, did I? I didn't need them at all. What did I need? I just needed a clearer understanding of what was already mine. I just needed a clearer understanding of what was already mine. Can I say the same thing goes when it comes to church? The same thing goes. If we want to grow as a church, if we want to become a community of integrated love and care, then we actually don't need to try and become something else or take on something else. What we need is simply a clearer understanding of who and what we already are in Christ. See, one thing that has struck Karen and I since we've been at Christchurch and when we arrived is that this actually is a great community. There are a lot of big-hearted, generous people. That's true at all the services, including 6 p.m. Kind of like, you know, you kind of come from one setting and you kind of go to another setting and another setting, and you kind of just see things. That's one thing that has struck us about Christchurch. But over the last year or so, we've also become kind of keenly aware that lots of people are kind of just have a sense that we want to change, we want to kind of grow as a community. We actually want to grow in our love and care for each other. And I think that actually means that we're just like the Colossian Christians that Paul's writing to. See, the Colossian Christians, they were keenly aware that, I guess, that their church should have been a bit different. Their church community life could have been a bit better than what it was. So what happened in Colossae is a group of leaders arose up within the church and said, you want church to be better? You want your church community? We can help with that. We know the secret of how to do that. Let us tell you. That would sound kind of tempting, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it sound kind of tempting if someone did just stand up and say that? I know sometimes, you know, it'd be great to hear. Now, unfortunately, these kind of teachers in Colossae, they were, well, false teachers. They were actually leading the church astray. Now, in one sense, what they were doing, as you read through Colossians, is they were kind of promoting just the same sort of kind of pseudo-biblical kind of Bible-sounding, you know, slash pagan stories slash nonsense, maybe. I haven't seen the movie. I want to see it. Andrew did put a good piece in the weekly email. Read that. But what it is it, if you like, it takes that they're taking familiar Old Testament stories and then kind of melding them together into a different worldview and giving them a different meaning. Addressing some of the same issues, but if you like, putting their own slant on it. Kind of taking bits of the Bible, melding it with kind of a Greek worldview, and wrapping it together with some kind of nice kind of, you know, deeper message and meaning as to what life's really about. If you can work it out amongst all the blogs and the whatever else as to what's going on, I can't. If you've seen it, I'd love to talk to you to know whether I should spend my, well, increasingly lots of money. See, what the false teachers were doing in Colossae, it sounded promising. It sounded kind of biblical. It sounded kind of Christian. But in reality, it wasn't. It was deadly. It was deadly to their community life. See, the false teachers were telling the Colossians that if they want to be a truly integrated, loving community, then what they need is they need to become more spiritual. They need to be more spiritual. They need to seek after new and truly spiritual experiences, encounters in the heavenly realms. So in chapter 2, we see that these leaders were then, if you like, in order to facilitate this spiritual stuff, they were just kind of trying to rearrange the deck chairs kind of in the earthly realm and trying to get the church to do a lot of different things to maximize their spirituality. So they had to fast, you know, on certain days. And they had to abstain from certain foods all the time. They had to know that, if you like, some days had more spiritual power than others, and you had to kind of focus on them. It was all about just trying to become more spiritual. See, like us, the Colossians knew that church could have been a bit better, a bit different in some ways, but they just ended up buying some spiritual advice that wasn't very spiritual. It was actually deadly. And it was deadly because what it was doing is it was making them forget who they already are and who they already were spiritually in Christ. So the Apostle Paul writes them, says, oh yeah, sure, actually things could be a bit better. Read Colossians 3 again. There are lots of things that could be a whole lot better in this church, in that church. But the Apostle Paul recognises that things could have been different, that they could have become a more fulfilling, integrated community of love and care. But he says to them, the way to become that is not trying to become something that you're not, become something different to who you are. Instead, it's just to start by realising who you already are in Christ. See, if we want to become a more and more integrated community of love and care, then the first thing the Apostle wants us to do is to just realise more clearly who exactly we are as Christians. To embrace who we already are spiritually in Him. Focus on that. Just keep setting our minds on that reality. See, Paul starts putting the Colossian church back on track, if you like, in chapter 3. And he starts in verse 1 by just kind of reminding them that there is just infinitely more to life. There's infinitely more to church than what you can see with your eyes on any given Sunday. See, look at verse 1. He says, if then, probably it's better to say since then, grammatically, since then you have already been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I can't really overemphasize the importance of this point for Christian community. See, if we think that our job as a church is to become more spiritual, then we've actually missed the point of church. See, we can't actually become anything more than what we already are, Paul says, than what we already are in Christ. You see, if we acknowledge and accept that Christ has died for our sins, to deal with what separates us from God, if He's done that for us already on the cross, and He's already been raised, you know, from the grave, ascended to the right hand of God, you know, into the heavenly realms, then our life is so bound up with Him and in Him that it is not too much to say that, you know, we have already passed from spiritual death into eternal life. So Paul says, no, you take that heavenly perspective. You know, you start looking at it from that perspective. You've already been raised into the very presence of God right now. That's not actually a future thing. That's a now thing. He's saying, forget what things just might look like with your eyes for a minute. He says, if you're a Christian, the deepest truth about your existence is that because Christ has died and risen again for you, then your life is eternally safe and secure in the presence of God right now, today, and tomorrow, and the next day, and forever. It's kind of like how I really love my glasses. I love my glasses, not the look of them. I just like the fact that when I put them on, I can see things. It's great. You know, I never wanted to actually have to wear glasses all the time, and I tried to get contacts, but I can't wear them. It makes me kind of cry all the time. But you know, I once realised that, you know, when I couldn't see the street signs when I'm driving at night, it was time to maybe kind of just, you know, suck it up and get some glasses. Because eyes are great, aren't they? They're great. However, our eyes can actually only see a tiny fraction of what's going on in our lives and in this world and in this universe. If you remember back to science at school, you know, you remember that our eyes can see just that part of the electromagnetic spectrum called the visible spectrum that goes from red and yellow and pink and... Roger, yeah, whatever it is. It's a very narrow part of the electromagnetic spectrum that we can see. And it's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it. Yeah, it's fantastic. But there are more things going on in our lives and in this universe than what our eyes can see. So when we want to see some of the deeper realities of our lives medically, we use things like an X-ray. And then it's more powerful. We can see deeper. See, what Paul's saying is if you want to truly see the deeper spiritual reality of your life, then your eyes aren't going to cut it. And an X-ray is not going to cut it. What you need to do is you need to focus on Jesus. You need to look at him and see that the deepest spiritual level of your life, if you are in Christ as a Christian, then you've already spiritually been brought into the presence of God. So he says, set your minds on that fact. Set your minds on that fact. Now, verse 4, he says, you know, when Jesus comes back in glory, then we will appear with him in glory. You know, then, you know, what we are will be seen visibly in the visible spectrum. But that doesn't change the fact that you already are hidden with Christ in the heavenly realms. Like Graham reminded us last week from Colossians 1, you know, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's just another picture for the same deep reality. So Paul says, if we want to become a fulfilling and integrated community of love and care, then the first thing we have to do is actually to realize who we actually are. Already now, spiritually, and to keep setting our minds on that fact. The second thing he says that we have to do then is we have to keep setting our minds on who we are and who we as a community are, but then we have to, if you like, just live it out. We have to make every effort for ourselves to make our own lives and our own character conform to that spirituality. So it's like you have to remember who you really are. And then just make sure that your own lives, match up with that. So you skip down to verse 12 and see how Paul wants us to see that, if you like, he wants our individual lives to conform with the reality of who we already are. See, verse 12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved." It says, that's who you are. So therefore, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. See, we don't get to heaven, and we don't come into the presence of God by making ourselves good, moral, and upright, do we? And it's the other way around. It's the other way around. See, first we're saved, he says. First we become, get made by the gospel of grace, his children, holy and beloved. And then we make every effort to ensure that our lives and our characters conform to the truth of who we are. It's like I'm reliably informed that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, and you can't make it patient, and you can't make it kind, and you can't make it forgive other horses, and you just can't, okay? Everything in this section are all things that we don't do for other people. They're things we do for ourselves. See, the same thing goes. If we're seeking to transform our church community, then we have to remember who we all are in Christ, but then we have to work hard at living it out in our own lives as the next step. We don't just go around trying to make other people what we think they should be. It's like, as you all know, I was a civil engineer for 7 years. I laughed, it was great. I then went and studied theology for another 7 years full time. You could say I kind of like to understand how things work. I like to analyze things and kind of just get things right in my head. On the downside, some people tell me, I won't tell you who particularly tells me, that I'm not naturally warm and fuzzy. I have a very patient wife who bears with me a lot, but I'm not naturally a warm and fuzzy kind of person. So for me, as I read Colossians 3, I see that it calls me to put on a compassionate heart and kindness. So I read that, and what I do is I just say, yeah, right, that's clearly just not my spiritual gift. Right? No, of course not. I realize that, yeah, I'm not those things, but that's okay. I'm called to put them on because that's the truth of who I am. It's like the whole idea of like who you are and then just putting on, like putting on a jacket. It's just the same verb. Jackets are tight these days, aren't they? Oh, wow, it's actually much harder than I thought it would be. There we go. It's like putting on so that people can see who you really are. But you put it on yourself. You don't just going to say, oh, here's your jacket, you need to work on that one. See, a few years ago, I realized that I quite wasn't that warm or affirming or necessarily kind. So what I did is I realized what I should be. Because that's actually, if you like, that's the who I am in Christ. So what I did is, a couple of years ago, I wrote out a prayer that I try and pray each week on a Friday. And the prayer is simply this. Lord, please help me to express encouragement, affirmation, appreciation, and gratitude. Lord, please help me to express encouragement, affirmation, appreciation, and gratitude. The funny thing is that when you pray that sort of prayer regularly, you kind of get stuck at the front of your head. It actually becomes much easier to remember that, to put it on, and to do it, and to live it out in your own life. See, friends, you are God's chosen ones. You are holy. You are dearly beloved by God. So how are you going at just putting on a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another? See, this all means that none of us gets to play Dr. Phil. You know, none of us, you all know Dr. Phil, or is this just my era? You know, Dr. Phil, you know, a guy who just tells everyone how to live their life. You know, so how's that working out for you? You know, no, what you need to do is, you know, we don't get to be Dr. Phil, okay? We get to apply it to our own lives first. See, if you want church to be a more and increasingly integrated community of love and care, then the first thing to do is to remember who we all actually are in Christ, but then we have to seek to live that out in our own lives. So, of course, as we do this, that doesn't mean that there isn't anything to say to each other. It's not as though we just have to kind of just live by example. There are things that we are supposed to speak to each other. We're supposed to say to one another. See, if we want church to be more loving and integrated and caring, then as we remember who we all are in Christ, as we try and live that out in our lives, the third thing Paul wants us to do is he wants us to foster a culture of thankfulness, a culture of gospel-centered thankfulness for who we really are. See, now, verses 15 to 17, if you look at them with me, they say a lot of individual things about church life and what we can do for one another. But can you see that it's all driving towards thankfulness, to being a thankful community, and it's all centered on the truth of the gospel, who we are in Christ already. See, read along with me, but read along on the screen because I've tried to just kind of organize it to kind of see the logic of what's going on here. See, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in yous all hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ, the gospel, the message, the understanding of who we are, let that dwell in you all richly, teaching and admonishing one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I am whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, everything about these verses is about us becoming, as a community, to just help each other to fix our eyes on who we actually already are in Christ. And to remember that. And to not just go beyond it, but to make that sure that that's the engine room of our community. That's the center of, you know, what's going on here. That's the thing that transforms us. And just to help us experience it as a living reality together. See, if we want church to be transformed, then Paul's saying that we do that by declaring to one another, to reminding each other, encouraging each other in the deep truths of the gospel of grace. Not by just slapping down some more laws and expectations on each other. You know, not just kind of, you know, speaking into each other's lives in that way that none of us actually like doing or actually want anyone else to do to us. See, if a church community has a problem with loving each other and caring for each other, then I guarantee you the problem is not that they don't know how to love each other and care for each other. The problem is that we've just forgotten how loved and cared for we already are in Christ. The gospel of grace has just somehow slipped our mind. It's no longer the living reality that undergirds our community. See, the cure is not to slap down some expectations on each other, to complain about each other behind each other's backs, or to complain about why the community isn't better. The cure is actually to be a prophet, to be a prophetic voice in the community. Now I don't mean, you know, just, you know, telling the future, but it's a prophet in the sense of just, if you like, speaking God's words, revealing and reminding each other of the deepest realities of who we actually are in Christ, who God is. You know, who Christ is, what he's done for us, what he is doing, what he will do. Just reminding each other of that. And doing that with thankfulness in our hearts. See, verse 15, it's like we have to live at peace with one another. You know, just stop the backbiting. Kind of just be at peace in one body. So that, verse 16, we can make the word of Christ dwell in amongst us all richly. You know, we need to put down our guns and instead use our mouths to just encourage each other with the message of the gospel, the truth of who we are in Christ, and to work out how that can be, if you like, a lived reality in our community in such a way that the gospel then transforms each of us individually and then us together as a community. Which is why verse 16 says, you know, to teach and admonish one another, to sing psalms and sing hymns and sing spiritual songs. It just means using our mouths to build up each other in the deep truths of who we are as God's people and who God is as our God in his boundless mercy. See, I think that's the engine room. That's the power of church. That's what drives us more and more towards Christ-like love. See, if we want our community to just keep growing as a community of love and care, then, well, we have to foster that culture of gospel-centered thankfulness where we know what it means to be God's people, and then we let God transform us from the inside out, from the individual to the community. Now, what does this mean practically? What does it mean practically for us today? Now, in one sense, I don't want to tell you, because it's not up to me to tell you. My job here is to kind of just open up Colossians 3 with us and remind you of who you are in Christ and how to and that we need to be encouraging each other in these things. We need to be putting it on and living it out in our own lives. But practically, I think it does mean a whole lot of things, and I want us to think that out together. What would it mean for us to do these things more and more? Can I say, I don't think it just means that we have to ring each other up and sing psalms to each other. Like Mink doesn't want me on the phone this week and say, oh, hi, Mink, I just thought I'd sing Psalm 19 to you, so here we go. But it's that model of actually, well, how do we use our mouths? Or how do we just communicate with whatever means to, you know, encourage and build up one another in that truth? I think we should be creative. It's the year's 2014, people. You know, what does it mean for us in this digital age? You know, I have a friend on Facebook, and I have lots of friends on Facebook, but I have one friend in particular who only ever puts up quotes from the Bible or quotes from hymns or songs or from just great quotes of encouragement that, because she wants, if you like, the online community to have that truth impacting more people. Now, I'm not saying that we should just all become, like, I don't know, digital weirdos, and we, not that she is, not by the way, but if we as a church, if that's all we did, that would be a little bit odd, I think. Be social in your social networks, but work out how you can just encourage each other with these truths so that, you know, when someone opens up their feed, there's something in there that reminds them tomorrow that actually of who they are in Christ. Now, you can share that online in ways that only people at Christchurch can see it. And that's okay, just be creative. What does it mean for us as a community? You don't need me. I'm not a digital native. Okay, I'm old. Okay, you guys can work out a much better way to do it. But be creative. Second thing I just suggest, and it's just a suggestion, but it struck me this week as I was preparing, is I really want our community groups to be places where we can really help each other think through and nut through what this means for us in our lives. In our lives today, in just the different areas of life, to see how the truth of who we are in Christ intersects with just our lived lives. But as we do that, as we pray for these things, I really want to just challenge you and encourage you to try and make thanksgiving a big part of your community groups and praying with thanksgiving and encouraging each other for that deep reality. Not just, you know, thanks that I got the new job. Do thank God for those things. But actually realise, how can we be thankful for the deep realities of who we are in Christ? Now, go to community group and take a heavenly perspective with you. Be thankful. Be encouraging in the good times and the bad. In the coming weeks, I also want to touch on another area that I want to kind of just encourage us in, but I don't want to do it now. Other than just to say that community groups are great, but I've flagged before, we do need to work out, I think, how we can have smaller, more deep relationships with people where we can just be brutally real about life. And just kidding. Not so that we can just, you know, keep each other accountable. No, just so that we can just be real in a way that sometimes it's hard to even in a community group. But think about what that might look like for you. You know, think through, do you have any close Christian friends that where you can actually just say, you know, I'm feeling this, and I wouldn't want to tell my community group this, but I need to tell someone, and then they can encourage you in that. Okay, just think through what that might look like. And I want to encourage us in this again later. But I think there's probably enough to think through. But I want us to grow as a community of integrated love and grace and care. But as we do that, I think we need to see that the first thing we need to do is to actually kind of remember who we actually already are in Christ spiritually. We need to keep setting our own minds on that. We need to encourage one another to keep setting our minds on that reality, to live it out in our own lives, to align ourselves with that, but to just to be encouragers of one another. Encourage each other to know that reality in a way that it just issues forth in great thanksgiving to God for who He is and who we are in Him. So let's pray. Loving Father, thank you that at right at this moment that our lives are hid with Christ. And because he has been raised from death, we have been raised with him. That we are spiritually alive for now and eternity. We don't fear judgment or condemnation, but that we are your children. Lord, I pray that you would help everyone here understand that and appreciate that just more and more in their lives. And help us to live it out, both as individuals and as a community. And help us to do that in a way that just encourages us to remember of who we already are in Christ, to do that to your glory. Amen.